What a privilege, what an honor it is to be able to serve our Heavenly Father and His Son, Jesus Christ, and the Spirit, who is the revealer of truth. We're going to be looking here this morning at building up the church. I think that's an important topic, a helpful topic. If we are members of the body of Christ, I believe that we should all mutually have a vested interest in building up the body of God's dear Son. And Paul tells us that when every part or every member, that's to say, does its share, that causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. That's Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16. And make no mistake, we all want to be certain that we are builders, constructive builders, and not wreckers. We want to edify the Lord's people and not trouble God's people needlessly. One by the name of Carmelo Benvenga wrote a poem called, "Are You a Builder or a Wrecker?" And it goes like this. I watched them tearing a building down, a gang of men in a busy town, with a ho heave ho and hearty yell, they swung a beam and a sidewall fell. I asked the foreman, are these men skilled as the men you'd hire if you had to build? He gave me a laugh and said, no indeed, just common labor is all I need. I can easily wreck in a day or two what builders have taken a year to do. And I thought to myself as I went my way, which of these two roles have I tried to play? Am I a builder who works with care, measuring life by the rule and square? Am I shaping my deeds by a well-made plan, patiently doing the best I can? Or am I a wrecker who walks the town, content with the labor of tearing down? And that's an important question for us to ask. Each of us have to ask that very question right there. Are we helping here or are we hindering? Are we merely getting in the way? Are we encouraging our brothers and sisters in the Lord? Or by our actions, by our negligence, or the choices that we're making, are we discouraging? Because you see, in this particular area, it is quite hard to remain neutral. We're either going to do the one or the other. Now, of course, the Bible calls the church a building, speaking there about the people. The people are as a building from God and a building of God. And it is a building that is fashioned upon Jesus Christ as the chief cornerstone. And it is a building that is to be continually built. We do not stop in that process. In Ephesians chapter 2, there in verse 19, the Apostle Paul talks about God's people thusly. He says in Ephesians chapter 2, there in verse 19, now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, watch this, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Over in 1 Peter chapter 2, here in verse 4, Peter puts it like this, coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, watch this, as living stones are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Part of this process of building up, I mean, part of the whole rationale behind it is that we are going to think about certain goals, certain desired ends that we wish to achieve. And these are goals that are on behalf of God Almighty. Now, the goals may not be reached instantaneously. In fact, that would rarely happen, correct? But in patience, in time, we can get there with certain particular goals. In Philippians chapter 3, there in verse 12, Philippians chapter 3, verse 12, here Paul points out, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do. What's the one thing here, Paul? Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press, I push, I move toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. He was goal-oriented that way. And Paul here gives some insight into keys to obtain particular goals. Now, obviously, as Christians, we all have that goal of being with Christ Jesus in the after while. And to do that, we have to let the past be the past. Friend, we simply cannot be dominated by disappointments of yesteryear. We resolve in this new year, as we would any day of the week in this year, to look forward and not backwards. And that is just simply a vital part of properly accomplishing our goals. You see, because if we merely look back on what has not yet been done and just lament that it is not yet done, that may not help us to actually get it done. But rather, we have to roll up our sleeves and get to work. In Romans chapter 12, Romans chapter 12, there in verse 4, Paul says, "For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us what? Let us use them." Don't shy away from that. Don't scale back. But let us use them. You see, we all have a place where we can contribute to the body of the Lord. And we all have to have the mindset that this is so that the church can be built up. Let it be for the edification of the church, whereby you seek to excel or develop. And so let me tell you right now here at the outset that this particular sermon, this particular lesson, I'm going to bring quite literally home. Home to us here at the Lawrenceville Church of Christ. Now there will be applications not just for members, but also for visitors too. Are there specific ways, identifiable ways, that the church here, not talking about every other group out there, but the congregation here, are there certain ways where we can be helped, where improvement can be found? And we sometimes say that there's always room for improvement. Yes, that's so. With what I share here today, let me put in a disclaimer. These are particular matters that have been on my mind. Admittedly, you might have your own set of matters that have been there on your mind. And let me tell you, that is perfectly fine. With what I share here, there may not always be complete agreement. And that, too, is also perfectly fine. But I am merely trying to bring awareness to certain issues that I here have reflected upon. All right. Without further ado, then, let's get to the first matter at hand. Building up the church. How about this? Pew Bibles. Someone once observed that we might be the only congregation here in the great old U.S. of A. where we do not have pew Bibles. Now, when you go over to, like, the third world, you go to places, say, like Africa or India, China, South America, we do know that there are certain congregations there where perhaps only one or two might possess the Bible, the preacher and maybe another member. But here in the home of the brave, the land of the free, we have ready access to God's Word. And we often make the point that it's important for people to follow along so that they know what is being taught from the pulpit or so that they know what is being taught by the Bible class teacher is in fact the Word of God Himself. This would take a bit of an investment, that's true. But would it be a large investment? If I might square with you, I don't think that it would break the bank of any one individual here. Even less so when we're discussing a collective effort. You see, because a good pew Bible might cost just about $13, but when you purchase the pew Bibles in bulk, what do you know about the price? It starts to plummet. It goes down. And even if it is just one pew Bible per pew, I do personally believe that that could be a large improvement. Because you see, I've known of situations, I can tell you right now about situations where people have come to me. It might be that they were there for a midweek class. They forgot their Bible. They did not have it with them. And they later confessed to me that they just could not follow along in the class. But you see, even if we had just one pew Bible per pew, that's a step in the right direction. Because if you spot that person who's shown up now, and while you're turning your pages, you can see that they're just sitting there, but they might like to follow along, it'd be real easy to just grab that and hand it over to them. Just a matter here to think about. Number two, gospel meetings. Gospel meetings. They are helpful for our edification in the Word, and also as an outlet for meeting other Christians in other congregations. And maybe even more importantly, furnishing even more convenient opportunities to meet those who are not yet Christians. They are still in the world. They are still unbelievers. You see, because if we are doing our part to try and teach our neighbors, to try and teach friends that are out there, people that we work with, you know it as well as I do, that they're going to express some type of loyalty to the particular church that they are going to. And lo and behold, what does that tend to mean? It means that when it comes to Sunday morning, or perhaps even Sunday night, or even there, yes indeed, Wednesday night, they feel that there's going to be a, quote, scheduling conflict should they try to come and visit over here. But when you have a gospel meeting going on, that's during that week, a given week, you have situations where now, like on a Monday or a Tuesday, or a Thursday or a Friday, or yes, even a Saturday, these people won't fall back on that type of an excuse. And you know what? They'll often appreciate the fact that you showed interest to invite them. And they can hear good Bible-based preaching. They can hear the plan of salvation. They can look at the scriptures that are cited. That can do wonders as far as their ultimate conversion in time to come. It's probably been a good couple years since my brother Steve Montz was down here to hold us a meeting. And if I recall correctly, prior to his meeting, it had even been more years for the one before him. But here, as we spread the word, when talking here about gospel meetings, talking here about the congregation at Lawrenceville, would it not just be perhaps a better lead-in? Oh, would you not know that at our congregation we happen to have a gospel meeting coming up, and we would love to see you there. We would love to have you present. I believe that would help. How about this? Door-knocking efforts. Door-knocking efforts. We had one a little bit ago now. It'd be helpful to resume this. Here you get a chance to meet people face to face. You can look them in the eye. They know that you are there. They know that you're right there at their doorstep. Now, it is true that we can spread the word through leaflets, through pamphlets. We can mail out flyers. We can send out tracts. We could technically even speak on the radio or on the television if we had the funds to do so. But I just don't believe that there's any real substitute for meeting people face to face. You see, because the truth is that if you receive, say, like an advertisement in the mail, in time to come, you might in fact forget that you got that or where that invitation came from. But if someone actually shows up at your door and you open the door, we sometimes say, it's hard to forget what? It's hard to forget a face. It can be far more effective that way. And look, lest we be naive, I do believe that this was done in the first century. You see, they were sent out two by two. They were sent out into different communities, into different regions. You could talk there about the 70 being sent out at one time, two by two. Sometimes they went in larger groups. Now you might say, well, I'm not entirely convinced that in every case they were knocking on doors, but look, let me tell you right now. We do know that they were going out. They were going out. Now that could have been there in marketplaces, places of enterprise and business. That could also be, say, like at a school campus. As you think there about that example in Acts chapter 19, where you had Paul teaching at the school of Tyrannus. But let me tell you right now, what they were doing is that they were getting out in the public eye. It was not sufficient to them to just stay at home and study, quote, their Bibles. They didn't quite possess all that we have today. They'd have to really go to the synagogue usually to get a reading of the scripture. But you see, they were active. You read that there in Acts chapter 8, that those who were scattered went everywhere doing what? Preaching the word. And I think about how Jesus will stand at the door and knock. What that tells you is that he is determined to try and win the hearts of individuals. The question is, are we determined as well? Let it be expressed in our actions of getting out there. I can remember hearing my brother Stephen talk this way, where he said that, quite frankly, it was just frustrating for him to always be mistaken for a Mormon or a Jehovah's Witness. And he made the point, what is wrong with us if these religions, which are not accurate with respect to Scripture, are outperforming us? We possess the truth. We possess the Word of God. Let's share that. I had done some reading there about the Restoration Movement. And there was an example one time where one who was part of a denomination had attended a Church of Christ. And he was impressed with the simplicity of the preaching, the plan of salvation just unfolding there before his very eyes. And he made this comment, he made this remark. Over here you have the most precious message that man could ever hear. And praise be to God for that. But I offer here this criticism. You are the stingiest with it. Let that not be said of us. Let us get out there. Let the word be heard. There's a message true and glad for the sinful and the sad. Ring it out. How about this here? How about this? Following up with members who are drifting. We've done phone calls. Perhaps we've sent out cards. We've made an appeal that way. I think that we also need to have the wisdom and foresight to where we understand or recognize that potentially now enough time has gone by and a personal visit might indeed be in order. Showing up there at the house, letting them know that you really care that way. We talk there about that great example in Luke chapter 15, where the shepherd was willing to leave the 99 to pursue and to try to overtake, as it were, come by again, that lamb that he'd lost. We can learn about good love that way. Proper compassion towards members that are straying. And as you have an opportunity to do that, and look, bring another Christian with you too. You can bring even more than one, perhaps. Use discretion there, but I believe it's helpful. As you do something like that, list the positives that come to your mind. Look, I can recall how it was that you would lead prayers, sir. I can recall how it was that you would serve there on the Lord's table. I remember those songs that you led us in. I see your talent. I know what you're capable of. Wonderful things in God's house. We love you. God loves you. We all want to see that fire rekindled, that zeal aflame once again. You know, we sometimes hear it said, and there's a measure of truth to it, that, quote, people change. Is that true? Yes, people change. Sometimes they change for the better. Sometimes they can even change for the worse. But if, in fact, as people we do change, let's not lose sight of the fact that sometimes we can change back to be what God would have us to be. And so sit down, have that heart-to-heart talk with that individual there. There might indeed be some misunderstandings that had started to develop. There might be some hurt feelings. But it's good to just help clear the air. Have that moment there in the living room with them to where it's all laid out. God off the chest. You see, because God's plan for us is that we be together here and also in eternity. And if it comes to the point where we have to withdraw from the disorderly, yes, that is to be done. But friends, let that be a last resort and not a first one. How do we do with following up with members who are drifting? How about this one? Needing to become a member in the first place. Can we build up the church this way? Yes, we can. Has it been our practice to just be a perpetual, eternal visitor? Then the question is why? What reason are we putting forward? You have to be a part of the body to help the body. Just as we think here about the analogy that Paul would use in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, talking about different appendages, talking about limbs, talking about arms and legs. We want a strong arm, don't we? Not a weak one. You see, as individuals, we are to try to be a part of the body, because the body functions best when it has all of its parts and all of its parts in good order. It might just be that some are reasoning, well, I'd like to be, quote, free to walk away whenever it is that I just want to walk away. I don't want any responsibility. And so you see, look, if I get disappointed, I can just head out on the highway, and that's going to be that. So you see, I can attend when I like, and I don't have to attend when I don't really want to. But let me just ask you, if that happens to be in your heart as a person, you think now about Jesus Christ and His body, the church, which is to represent a family, as it were, a family. And when it comes to your own physical family, do you approach matters that way? Well, I don't really want to have any responsibilities here. I just want to be able to just open that door and disappear for days on end. Not really have to bother with the hassle of saying hello to folks here. All of us would know that's not the sign of a healthy family member. We have to be integrated. We have to be locked in and pulling for the growth of our family, whether you're talking about in the flesh or talking about in the spirit with the church of Jesus Christ, the church here at Lawrenceville indeed even. Now, we're not perfect people here. And if one might be looking for a perfect congregation, you have to realize perfection is not going to be had, but in heaven itself. And so it is our interest to ask, what would the Lord do? What would the apostles do? What would faithful brethren in the New Testament do? The church of Christ is the church that belongs to Him. Jesus shed his blood for it. And yes, by his wisdom, by his divine wisdom, he gave us local congregations. And if he gave us local congregations, what does that also mean? He gave us membership within those local congregations. Now, not a one of those would be problem-free. Some did better than others. But it is still God's plan to be part of a local church that we can help constructively. Now, how about this one over here? Church website. Modern marvels of technology. Not everyone has a computer. I get that. That's fine. Not everyone has to. But many people in the world today do. And more than just those personal computers, we have our smartphones. And it just becomes very convenient to fall back on all of that. Sometimes we say we don't have to remember too much now because we have what? We have our smartphone. It'll do a lot of the thinking for us. But just like the house in which a person lives, I'm not saying all the time, but sometimes it can reflect that person. I believe that in perhaps a similar way, a church website can be reflective of the church itself. Now, I know it is far more important to focus on substance rather than style, and that which might just be eye-catching. But if we have the capacity to upload lessons, and we do, should we not take advantage of that avenue? I'm convinced it would be for edification. Our good brother, Jack Haynes, has graciously offered to help with that process. And I think that's good. If I had more skills, if I had some computer savvy to me, I could contribute as well. I'm going to do what I can to learn, but others are light years ahead of me. But let me tell you right now that about all the time I have people that come up to me and point out that they would like to be able to, quote, hear a lesson again. And it's just very handy. It's very easy now to just click on a link, and it can be replayed back. They can hear it again. They might have missed a point or two. They want to make sure that they got that down pat. I've also known of cases where you've had those that are traveling. They're on the road, staying at a hotel. And they will get on the website and listen to some of the audio recordings. But our church website has not been updated in 6 months. Can we do better there? It should not be the responsibility necessarily of any one individual. This ought to be a collective effort on our part. I'm almost done, I assure you. Future elders. You see, sometimes once a congregation can at long last get good men serving as elders, there might be that tendency to breathe a sigh of relief and develop a sense of security that all is now well and is going to be well. And yet, that can be a faulty sensation or emotion. We have to be cautious, you see, because elders, just like each and every one of us, will be having years tacked onto them. The calendar days are moving right along, and we have no surety of life or health. So you see, what am I getting at? Think very heartily about this. There always needs to be a new crop of men who are as elders in the making. You just ponder now how there's quite the lopsided ratio with respect to churches there and the eldership. Many congregations simply do not have elders. So my question is, where are the men who are working now to be as shepherds in the future, to help lead and steer a congregation in the way that it ought to go? Are we preparing ourselves now in the kingdom of God? And let me tell you here, there's no greater office here in this earth to which a good Christian man could aspire. And we sometimes talk about, quote, the greatest office in the land, as being the presidency of the United States. But if a commander-in-chief is not a Christian, not a true child of God, when he moves on in life, on into death, he's lost his soul. But when we're talking here about serving as an elder in the church of Christ, I call to mind the words of Peter in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 4. And when the chief shepherd appears, you as elders, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. What an accolade. What a prize to which we must strive. And last but not least, sign-up sheets for work for the members. It's been observed that sometimes you have the same families back to back to back, back to back to back, that have their names up there. And all I'm saying here is that perhaps we need to take a good hard look. If you are a member, when was the last time that you had your name inscribed up there? For the cleaning list, for teaching a class, for yard duty, for communion preparation, etc. A matter to think about. What can we do to serve the body of God's Son better? In that well-known song, "I Am Resolved," by Palmer Hartsow, you have this line: "I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, these have allured my sight." I'll go on. "I am resolved to go to the Savior, leaving my sin and strife. He is the true one, He is the just one, He hath the words of life. I am resolved to enter the kingdom, leaving the paths of sin. Friends may oppose me, foes may beset me, still will I enter in. I am resolved, and who will go with me? Come, friends, without delay. Taught by the Bible, led by the Spirit, we'll walk the heavenly way. Who will go with me? What can we do to serve the body better? Come, friends, without delay." Let's get on board with this, because we're talking about God's house. We're talking about the church that Jesus shed His precious blood for. It's valuable to Him. It should be held in the highest of esteem by us. Let's be constructive there. Let's become a part of God's house. If you're not yet a Christian, we encourage you to become one this hour so that you could start there on that path, being instrumental in the divine work of God, and then have heaven to look forward to when this life is ended and you close your eyes in death. How about that? If we can be of service, please make your way down to the front while we stand now and sing the song that's been announced.